Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for a different take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's up, Atlanta? Garrett Chapman here, filling in for Dylan Matthews on the Hometown Take on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Happy game day, everybody. Happy, happy game day. No, it's not Falcons game day, but it's NFL game day. We got some Eagles football. They're taking on the Micah Parsons-less Dallas Cowboys up there in Philadelphia, the reigning Super Bowl champions. That's where Dylan is, up there with his lady friend. They're up there watching some Eagles football here on this beautiful Thursday. But I'm here in Atlanta filling in for Mr. Matthews. We have a lot to get into here on the Hometown Take. 1 hour before we hand it over to our friends over on The Morning Shift. It's going to be a lot of fun. We got a lot of great stuff to jump into. Talking a lot of Falcons here because Raheem Morris had a press conference yesterday. We had the quarterback, Michael Penix, on the station yesterday. And Wes Trueham. Wes Durham, voice of the Atlanta Falcons. He will join us later on in the show. We got a lot to get into here just because it is a game week. On Sunday, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and company, they come to town. Four-time reigning NFC South champions. Atlanta Falcons swept them last year. Didn't mean much because we didn't make the playoffs. But ultimately, this is a Falcons team that's going to come into this season with a lot of confidence. I'm going to let you hear some clips here from our head coach, Raheem Morris, here in just a moment. But ultimately, what are your vibes here about the Atlanta Falcons right now heading into week one? What are the vibes? Because I feel like they were a lot higher 2 weeks ago. Back when you had your starting right tackle, and then your backup right tackle was, on the mend, so supposedly. Since then, can't say the same. You know, I mean, we've talked about it a lot. It's been written everywhere. Caleb McGarry got hurt. Yeah, we get it. But at the same time, Storm Norton goes down with an ankle injury. He's on the shelf for first five, at least, weeks of the season. Now you got Hassan Reddick and company coming into town week one. And look, Todd Bowles, head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, one of the best play callers in the NFL on the defensive side of the ball, loves to throw some exotic looks. So I know that Michael Penix making his first start against the division rival Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday is going to have his work cut out for him. This is a good defense. Lots of veterans on this Tampa Bay defense. And you talk about vibes going into a game. They're always going to be high going into week one, but the Falcons, I mean, they really haven't done all that well in first weeks of the season, going back the last couple of years. Now, they haven't done a lot of things very well going back the last couple of seasons by virtue of not making the playoffs since 2017, not having a winning record since 2017. So it's not that hot of a take, I guess you could say, to say they got off the mat slowly. But the Falcons need to get off the mat very quickly on Sunday. They need to get off very quickly. This is a team you swept last year. This is a team that remembers that you swept them last year. And they're going to come in wanting blood. Falcons have to be ready. They absolutely have to be ready. I don't care what your shortcomings are. This is another Tampa team that has shortcomings of their own. Chris Godwin's on the shelf at least till October. Tristan Wirfs, he's back at practice. He's an all-pro tackle. He ain't going to be playing. So if you want to talk about excuses, Tampa Bay has just as many excuses as the Falcons do. So I don't want to hear it. Vibes need to be high. Vibes need to be electric at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And for anybody who's like, well, we didn't play in the preseason, neither did Tampa. So that's not going to be an excuse for you either. So you talk about it. Vibes, there's no reason to have low vibes. Not right now. It's game week. And the Falcons have a massive test here set up for them on Sunday at 1 o'clock at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. If you're going, be loud, be proud. If you're at home, reserve your criticism, I guess. We'll see. All right, let's go. Let's give a chance to hear from the Falcons head coach, Raheem Morris, yesterday at his press conference. We talked a little bit about the right tackle. Elijah Wilkinson is going to be your starting right tackle there. He's going to be charged with taking down Hassan Reddick, you know, a guy who has 51 and a half sacks going back to 2020. That's sixth most in the NFL in that time. That includes a season last year where he only plays 10 games and gets one sack. So if you want to talk about the time just between 2020 and 2023, I guess you could say maybe 2024 season, yeah, he would have been a little bit higher on that list. But no, 51 and a half sacks, that's not nothing. So they're going to have to figure him out with your not first choice, not second choice, but your third choice right tackle. And this is what Raheem Morris had to say about Zach Robinson's role, the offensive coordinator, in covering up for that right tackle spot.
I don't think Zach looks at it that way. You know, I don't think coaching staff look at it that way. I think they put the best plan together to win each football game. And Caleb is a significant loss. There's no doubt about it. Don't want to sugarcoat that. And our coaches are definitely going to do things and put us in best position. They don't want to put it all on Zach. You know, we got O-line coaches for a reason. You have running back coaches for a reason. You have all these different eyes to give, you know, different, you know, reason and things behind it. Myself, you know, we're all going to be thinking about that. We're all going to try to figure out what is the best way for us to win football games. Got a lot of confidence in Elijah Wilkinson. Got a lot of confidence in whoever will play out there that will be up on our 48-man roster. And, like, we feel good about our unit, our plan, our team, our goals, and what we want to do. You know, like, you know, there's always the obvious part, what you're asking. Zach will get the credit when it goes right. And at the same time, he'll get the blame if I don't get it first, right? That's the order, right? Is it go to me, then it go to Zach, and whatever the case may be. But we look forward to those challenges.
Yeah. Dwayne Ledford, the offensive line coach, I got a lot of faith in him. I mean, he's a guy who's been here for a long time. He's coached Elijah Wilkinson now for this will be his third year of coaching up Elijah Wilkinson. And I mean, Dwayne Ledford's one of the most respected offensive line coaches in the NFL for a reason. He's able to get a lot out of guys. And I mean, the biggest loss, I know a lot of people talk about, you know, the blind side of Michael Penix or stuff like that. I don't put as much credence into that as everybody else does necessarily. I think you can kind of scheme around it to the question's point. I think really where you're going to feel the loss of Caleb McGarry is in the rushing attack. They know that. We know that. Everybody knows that. It's the fact that you rush to the right side, I believe, 60% of the time. You average 67% of your runs are outside of the tackle. That's most in the NFL last year. You average 4.5 yards per carry to the right side. That's not nothing. You know, Bijan Robinson is a guy who likes to bounce it out. He's somebody who likes to run outside of the tackles. That's what he does. That's where it's going to be felt. And look, if Elijah Wilkinson can be good enough, let's just put it that way, then I think the Falcons will have a chance to at least mitigate the loss of Caleb McGarry. You're never going to get that level of production because you lose the mentality of Caleb McGarry, and that's what's going to hurt as much as anything else. You know, you have a guy who, they talked a little bit during training camp about how this guy he growls at opponents. You lose a killer like that on your offensive line, and that's going to hurt. And we'll see what Elijah Wilkinson can do. But, I mean, look, he's going to come out. He'll be out for blood and ready to go. But we'll see what actually ends up happening. Hassan Reddick's going to be a tough one, but it's the entire front. They're going to be attacking him, so he's got to be ready to go. All right. Raheem Morris continues. He says, as far as confidence is concerned, I say the Falcons should be confident. You swept this team last year. So what did the head coach have to say about why his team is confident heading into week one? Take a listen.
The panics in the offense, the exact answer to the question that you gave me. You know, our coaching staff, you know, our organization, the way we're built, the confidence that they walk around with. Bijan Robinson, Tyler Algier, Kyle Pitts, you know, Mooney, Drake London. You know, the way Casey Washington's practice, the way we've been able to step up in different areas, whether it's been Hodge, and go out there and be able to make plays. Our O-line up front, with everybody having a significant amount of playing experience, whether it's here or somewhere else, having a real bind together, going into the second year of an offense, building on the success that they had last year, although that doesn't matter because you got to go out there and repeat those things. But I feel really good and confident these guys didn't hear things for the first time this year, and they'll get a chance to go out there and execute those things at a very high level. And they were close last year to being great, and we got a chance to go out there and prove some things this year, and I look forward to doing it.
Yeah, they were close. They were very close. I mean, look, this is a team that was 6-3. 6-3 after beating Tampa down in Tampa. And everything changes in Week 10 when you go and face the New Orleans Saints, and then everything kind of goes off the rails when you lose that game, and Kirk Cousins gets hurt and everything else. And I think a lot of people forget just how good the Falcons were over the first 10 weeks of the season. Through the first 10, up to Week 10. They looked like a shoe-in to win the NFC South. They had a multi-game lead in the division. They had just swept the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They were undefeated in the NFC South. They had taken down the eventual Super Bowl champions. They took the Kansas City Chiefs to the wire. I mean, this was a team that was, you know, looked ready to contend and go to the playoffs and snap that ever-loving streak of non-playoff appearances. But then everything goes south. So, I mean, look, if the Falcons can rekindle some of that magic from what they had in the first half of the season, I think they should be in pretty good shape. But this is a young football team, and you're going to be counting on a lot of young, inexperienced players to step up and play big roles. But that's the story of the NFL. It really is. But you have four guys on this defense who are going to be taking significant roles on Sunday. Xavier Watts, named starter at safety. Billy Bowman, named starter at the nickelback. Jalen Walker, he appears to be healthy and ready to go. We'll see. Raheem Morris talked about that. He said that he's confident that he's going to be in good shape for Sunday. But James Pierce is your fourth one. Somebody who I think has a very high ceiling here in Atlanta, especially year one. But you talk about why Raheem Morris was so confident in these rookies. He says it's as simple as role clarity. Take a listen.
It's really role clarity, you know, like you got to know your role. Like when you go out there, if you can own your role, that makes you a little bit more comfortable. And as you start to own those roles and you do those things, then those things start to grow into different areas and aspects of our game. In football, you know, particularly now with the amount of people that are out there and the amount of people you want to play, you want to get those guys out there in certain situations, certain ownership roles, certain things they can do faster and better. But, you know, definitely letting those guys rush and do different things of that nature that they're comfortable with and doing some of the things they've done in practice and some of the things they've been able to execute. That they got a little bit of experience in, whether it's in the joint practice versus Tennessee, whether it's been in the preseason games, whether it's been at practice against us, all of those things that you've seen on tape that they're really comfortable doing, let them do some of those things.
Simplicity. Simplicity is key, especially for those two first-round picks. He mentions that they're just going to be rushing the passer. Yeah, I think that's just as simple as it needs to be. James Pierce, I mean, that's what you drafted him to do. That's what he's going to come in here and do. Early and often, if he can get a sack, I mean, that'd be just jackpot here for the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday. But, you know, Jalen Walker is someone who I think that fans are going to get a good look at him this season. I don't think you're going to have a full comprehensive look at how talented this guy is and what his ceiling can be until later on in the season or potentially even into year two. But it's because of the guy's got a high IQ. He's just been banged up all summer, and I think it's going to continue to it might delay his preparedness, I guess, just a little bit. I don't think it ultimately will impact him all that much, but I do want to let you hear this last thing because Darnell Mooney, I mean, he's listed as day-to-day. I'm assuming that he's going to be good to go on Sunday, but he may have – they're not going to say he has a snap count necessarily, but he may not be able to take a full game load per se. So who steps up in his place? Maybe somebody like Kyle Pitts. Take a listen to what the head coach had to say.
Yeah, you know, we talked about it. Like I just mentioned, all the guys, when we're talking about what gives our offense a lot of success, and Kyle Pitts is definitely one of those guys that you can mention. You guys have got the fortunate exposure of being able to see him have some success this offseason, to be able to have some success at the end of last season with Mike, and now get a chance to go watch those guys do it. You know, those are the type of things you just don't even want to talk about. You want to just let them happen because it's got to be the hot man, and it's usually – like it happens in games. Sometimes it's Drake, sometimes it's Kyle, sometimes it's Bijan, sometimes it's Tyler, whatever the case may be. And we had great references. Ray Ray, I think I missed Ray Ray the first time, so don't write that. I missed Ray Ray. But I just think you got to, you know, sometimes you get the hot man and you just kind of go and let those guys kind of play. And when you got it rolling that way, I think it makes a little bit of unpredictable for the other defense. And That's what helps us.
20% of his total yards on the season, 50% of his touchdowns. Both of those came against Tampa Bay last season for Kyle Pitts. How about that? Maybe you can rekindle some of that. If Darnell Mooney isn't 100% go, you're going to look to Kyle Pitts to potentially take a bigger role. And look, Michael Penix has wanted to get him the ball. But 150-ish, 155 yards or so, and two touchdowns there for Kyle Pitts in that game, or in those two games against Tampa Bay. Maybe you can rekindle some of that magic. All right, when we get back, we're going to take a listen to our quarterback. He was on with Duke Simbell yesterday. What did he have to say? QB1 joins us when we get back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is the Hometown Take.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Your first look at the Atlanta sports scene every weekday morning. This is the Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Just real quick, huge shout out here to the Atlanta Dream, who clinched a playoff spot last night. I got it. They're playing the Sparks last night over there, down there at College Park. 86-75 winners, 27-14 on the season. Good for them. Really excited. Just wanted to give a quick shout out to them. But QB1, he was on the station with Dukes and Bell yesterday. Take a listen to how that conversation went, courtesy of our friends over there in the afternoon drive.
It's Dukes and Bell live at Flowery Branch, guys, inside the Ticketmaster Studios, getting ready to sit down with us. We're talking about my quarterback, Michael Penix Jr. And, Mike, man, it's good to see you.
Good to see y'all.
Man, look, I know you're ready. Like my heartbeat is all – I'm not even going to play on Sunday. I'm just going to be in the game, like, cheering. Mm-hmm. My heartbeat is going 1,000 miles per hour. How do you feel, man, first and foremost? Appreciate the time today as we get ready for the Bucks on Sunday, season opener. That's question one, man. How do you feel? All the camp stuff's behind us.
Yeah.
All the squabs. I said it. All the squabs behind us. All that stuff. How do you feel right now?
Man, excited, you know, obviously, excited, you know, for the opportunity. You know, I'm blessed for the opportunity as well, you know, to be able to, you know, be here, be going into my second year, you know, as a starter. You know, it's definitely, you know, a dream come true, and obviously an opportunity that I want to take advantage of. So.
How much did you get out of camp? Because we talked about with our listeners, man, we want to see you. Everyone wants to see you out there, but obviously coach has you doing more 11-on-11s. We saw the Tennessee scrimmages. You felt you got everything you needed from this camp.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely, I feel like the biggest thing for me, you know, it definitely was from last year was just the reps with the guys, the reps with the ones. You know, as far as, you know, the only difference about me not playing in a preseason game is the physical aspect of it. You know, I won't take any hits, but, I mean, I've been playing football since I was 5. I've taken a lot of hits in my days, and, you know, that's part of the game. You know, that's what come with it. You know, but for me, it's as long as I'm out there being sharp, you know, being smart with the ball and, you know, being fast with my reads, you know, I feel like I'm in a good spot.
Michael Penix joining us here on Dukes and Bell, guys, as we get ready for the Bucks on Sunday. It's week one in the NFL at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Can you expound on these Matt Ryan chats, man? I mean, right. You said he helped you in different ways, I guess. And we're talking about preparation, taking care of your body, the off season. What exactly are we talking about?
Yeah, all of the above, you know, just showing me – how to be a pro. You know, obviously, last year was my first season. You know, just trying to figure things out. You know, obviously, last year was a long year as well. You know, as a rookie, you know, you go from, you know, me, I played in the national championship game to, you know, you got all this pre-draft stuff. You know, so it was definitely a long year. But, you know, he kind of helped me, you know, just shape, you know, my off-season schedule. That was the biggest thing, the off-season schedule and how to go about that and, you know, our game week schedule as well, you know, how I'm going to prepare and, you know, how can I be the best version of myself come game day. So.
And the toughness of Michael Penix Jr., we talked about it with Coach Raheem Morris. We spent, like, weeks talking about you and that scrum against the Titans. And, Carl, he's swinging on cuz.
Yeah, man.
But I know that, you know, for you it's no big deal, but it was just something you don't normally see. And, it's, you know, we talked to Cade Nellis. We talked to the defensive guys. That's my quarterback. Yeah. I mean, was it not like it was intentional, but it just you had no second thoughts. I mean, you're just right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
What second thought, would you not do that again?
I wouldn't. So for me, I never try to start anything. You know, right. my pops, he always taught me don't start it but finish it, you know. But you know, for me we made a big time play. They were making plays throughout practice and they were, you know, saying what they had to say. So whenever we made a play, I said what I had to say and they didn't like it, you know. But
what'd you say? Get your ass back in the huddle. what did you say to these dudes, man?
I don't remember, to be honest. I really don't ever really get to that point.
Sure,
you know, when I'm talking,
it's just right,
you know, it just happened. And I
well,
don't know.
Michael, we'll say this because we rant and raved about it for a few days. One, because it was fun. I mean, honest, obviously, and nobody got hurt. Real talk.
Right.
Secondly, though, to Mike's point, you are a quarterback. We're going, Mike, what is Michael doing out there? Like, we were freaking out because we're like, don't touch him. And that was like our fear. But you didn't think twice about it. You were like, whatever you want to do, let's do it.
Yeah.
And then your teammates, I mean, to Mike's point again, defensive guys were on the other field. And the funny thing is James Pierce was starting a lot of stuff in camp. He was like, I wasn't even over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so that was what's crazy about that whole ordeal. But it showed, I think, our fan base sort of what you're made of in another way, right?
Right.
We know we can play football, but that's a whole nother element. Does our team have that? Do we have that it factor?
Yeah, we do. We do all across the board. You know, it shows each and every day. You know, obviously, it don't always show in fights, you know.
Right, right.
But just the way we compete, you know, guys battling, guys talking, you know, trash back and forth to each other, you know, bringing the best out of each other each and every day. So our team got it. You'll see.
It's my quarterback, your quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., guys, number 9 inside the Ticketmaster Studios here at the Branch. Every day at practice, we saw it's like 9 to 5, you and Drake London. I mean, just like boom, boom, boom. Seamless. Can you get things picked up with – I know Darnell's a little bit behind the curve with the injuries, but you also made an effort to get Pitts involved. Mm-hmm. What's Pitts and you going to look like this year?
Yeah, man, great. You know, he definitely had a big-time camp this year, and he's been working extremely hard. You know, and I feel like for him, he's a guy that loves to learn. You know, anytime we get a rep, maybe we don't connect on a rep. You know, he's asking how can he do the rep better. Sometimes just like, I made a bad throw. Like, don't worry about it. You do what you did, you know. But, you know, just our relationship off the field as well is definitely going to help us on the field as far as, you know, the things that we can do.
What about Darnell, man? I mean, I feel like he brings a different element to our team when healthy.
Right.
And, you know, Coach said he's day-to-day. We just talked to Rob about it. We hope he's available for Sunday. But from your perspective, a playing quarterback, what do you see when he's out there and what he brings?
Yeah, definitely separation. You know, I feel like he's a guy that knows how to get open. And he understands the game of football. He knows when he's front side read, back side read, you know, when he needs to get open and stuff like that, you know. So he brings a lot, you know, not just physical aspects, but the mental part of the game as well. So he's definitely somebody on this offense that is definitely a key factor. So.
And Casey Washington, we saw him,
yeah,
you know, he made
sure.
The camp an effort. I mean, obviously, you and him had nice connections too.
Yeah, he's been great. Yeah, he's been consistent. That's one thing about Casey. You know what you're going to get out of him. Every day you're going to get a big smile and a guy that's going to run all day. And, you know, and he competes at a high level, and he definitely has really good hands as well. So he's definitely going to make big-time plays for us.
Michael, I know you've been asked this. Michael Penix joining us here on the show, guys, as we get ready for Tampa on Sunday, about Elijah Wilkinson. It's like you're probably tired of talking about it. I don't know. Everybody's wondering the trust factor, the concern there. Obviously, Caleb McGarry is a really good player that we lost, but we now know he's out for the season.
Mm-hmm.
Your concerns there? Any? How do you feel about where the O-line is and going into week one?
Yeah, I don't have any concerns about it. You know, like you said, you know, losing Caleb, that was tough, you know, for the whole team. But at the same time, you know, Elijah, he's been doing a great job. You know, he's been consistent all throughout camp. And even going back into last year, you know, he's been consistent. He knows the offense, and, you know, he's a good player. So we're definitely ready to see what he can do. And we know what he can do. We know what he will do. And we can't wait to see it. So for the people that's concerned about it, don't be. You know, we'll
right
be good.
Before we cut you loose, last year you get to start the last three games of the season. I said that the test in Washington, that, you know, that big atmosphere on Sunday Night Football. How much more is Zach Robinson throwing at you now, or how much more has the game plan evolved in this summer?
I really don't know how to answer that. The playbook has always been open. You know, mm-hmm. the same stuff that Kirk was doing last year, he has up for me. You know, but I guess we'll see.
Okay.
I guess we'll see.
No new wrinkles?
I mean, it's always new wrinkles.
Okay.
You know, that's across the board. Everybody, you know, you're always trying to find ways to get better each and every day. So it definitely, it'll be new wrinkles. But, you know, I feel like our identity is what it is. So.
What about your thoughts on the Bucs? Look, I'm not asking you to give the game plan, but you're watching these guys. You've watched probably tons of film leading into this week. What are your concerns, if any, about facing this Bucs defense?
They're a good team. You know, they got a good coach as well. You know, coaching that defensive side of the ball up, and they got really good players on that side of the ball. So it's definitely going to be a challenge for us. But we're excited and we're ready for it, and we're going to go out there and do what we have to do come game day. So I mean, it's NFL football. Each and every week is going to be tough. So we just got to go out there and do our job.
Michael Penix, you are the perfect guy to ask. I have to ask this because over the weekend he's catching a lot of heat. You played for Kalen DeBoer. Mm-hmm. Alabama loses to Florida State. I have to ask.
Well, has he got more eligibility?
No. He doesn't anymore. But I got to ask, just these tough times, man, and you played for him and you right. know him really well. Alabama fans are reeling right now about, you know, oh, my God, we lost to an unranked team, blah, blah, blah. Can you talk about the makeup of Kalen DeBoer and, like, how he will respond in these kind of situations?
Yeah, he's an even-keel guy and got tough skin, you know. So I know this is not going to rattle him or that coaching staff in any way, shape, or form. You know, obviously that's something, a win that they wanted to have. You know, they want to win all of them, just like everybody. But at the end of the day, you know, things don't always go your way. And Florida State was the better team that week, but they still got a chance to win out. You know, it's still another week, you know. So I know Coach, he's not over there, you know, soaking in his feelings about that loss. You know, I know he's ready to coach those boys up to be ready this week. So.
Yeah, and you lived that with him. I mean, like I said, you guys had great wins and certainly some tough losses along right. the way. Yeah. Hey, man, we wish you nothing but the best.
Yes, sir.
Brother, let's make this happen. Let's go get him.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Big-time game week here for the Atlanta Falcons coming up on Sunday. Pre-game starting on Sunday morning, and it should be a fantastic show. Fantastic show here for your Atlanta Falcons. And pre-game starts at 11 o'clock, kickoff at 1 o'clock. We'll have all the coverage here on the flagship of your Atlanta Falcons. When we get back, the voice of the Atlanta Falcons, Wes Durham, he also sat down with Dukes and Bell. We'll give you a chance to listen to that conversation. It's Garrett Chapman filling in for Dylan Matthews here on the Hometown Take, live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Hometown Take. Garrett Chapman filling in for Sir Dylan Matthews, who's up in Philadelphia, kicking off the brand new NFL season in style.
Eagles and Cowboys here tonight on Thursday Night Football. Friday, we're down in Sao Paulo. The Kansas City Chiefs and who the Kansas City? Who's Kansas City playing? Shoot. Should have had that ready. All right, but no, that'll be down on WAOK. We'll have that broadcast down there. It's the Chargers. That's right. It's the LA Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs. That's going to be on WAOK. Pregame at 7:30, kick at 8:15. Dallas at Philadelphia, that'll be on the station tonight, 7 o'clock, kickoff at 8:15. On Sunday, though, we have our Atlanta Falcons taking the field for the first time in 2025. Pregame starting at 11 o'clock and kickoff at 1 o'clock at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You can hear it here on the flagship of your Atlanta Falcons on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Very excited for that game for obviously more reasons than one, but it's the NFL season's back in our lives, folks. We're very excited about that. I'm very excited about that here. And look, the voice of your Atlanta Falcons, Wes Durham, he was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday. They had a great conversation there. I'll give you a chance to give that one a listen here. But ultimately, I mean, look, this is a Falcons team that needs to get off on the right foot. They really do. And it's starting 1-0 for the first time in I can't remember the last time that they started 1-0. Maybe it's been a couple of years, but I know last year was a kind of a brutal start against the Pittsburgh Steelers. T.J. Watt kind of had his way with you, and hopefully the Haason Reddick doesn't do the same. But take a listen here to what Wes Durham, the voice of your Atlanta Falcons, had to say with Dukes and Bell.
Yeah, I totally agree with what Rod told you then. I think protection's going to be a major premium. We all know what the situation is at right tackle. And you got to believe in Elijah and move forward if you're a Falcons fan and hope that that does not become a distraction as the season unfolds because, you know, we've talked about it, guys. The first four games are just huge. I mean, I've been trying to find a way to not make them bigger, but I'm sorry. You're playing two division teams and two teams who probably are going to be in a wild card chase or win their division. So, yeah, you got to be right. And you got to be right from the start. And I'm excited about Sunday because I want to see what it looks like because I think it does have potential, even with some of the bumps we've had along the way in camp.
Yeah, we asked Coach about it. We asked Michael Penix about it. It sounds like, you know, Mooney maybe game time at best because he can move west, but he worried about the contact with the shoulder injury. How confident are you that a guy like Kyle Pitts can step into that breach or Casey Washington? Obviously, we know that 9-to-5, as you call it, Drake will certainly be in the mix. But what do you think about the other guys in the passing game?
Well, you know, let's be honest. Penix came in from the first training camp presser and called Kyle out, say a lot of balls went to KP. So, you know. Keep talking Kyle Pitts. I'm all for it. I think that anything you can do in the throw game then opens up at least some doubt about what you can do when Seven gets the ball in his hands. And, you know, Mike and Carl, we've talked about this. Seven is the show, okay? Bijan is the show. And Penix is going to be fine. I think the receivers, I think Drake could have a monster year. I'm sure Arch has told you guys that too. I think we both feel London is set to just go to the next level in terms of what he's thought of around this league. But I think between London, Robinson, Penix, certainly you hope you get Mooney back toward 100%. You know, Kyle, certainly you think about it. And then I'm excited to see how you're changing Zach's playbook with Tyler Allgeier on Sunday, to be honest, too. I don't know if Sunday's an Allgeier-type game, given the way their front is and how good they were last year defensively. They were fourth against the run. And, you know, it'll be interesting, especially with that moving solar system they've got that lines up at nose.
Right. That's Vita Vea.
Yeah, he's a big dude. Big boy. Wes Durham joining us, guys. We want to talk some college football with you, and we will, because I want to get your thoughts after week one. Talking about the Falcons, though, right now, as we get ready for Tampa Bay, defensively, how good do you feel? I know there's been a lot of changes. We asked Coach about, you know, Brick, our new defensive coordinator, and he talked about their relationship and why he trusts him. But how good should we feel heading into week one, knowing that all this stuff was done to improve our defense?
Well, I think you first of all have to look at the way things just potentially could be. And potentially you're talking about having two fire breathers on the edge. And I think Leonard Floyd, even though he's in his 10th year, still got plenty of gas in the tank.
I think
Katie's gotten better every year. Onyemata and Rook, you know, and any combination of those guys, that really helps. And then, you know, Ellison. Again, we've gone a lot of August here, and nobody's really gotten into the Divine Diablo situation. And I just think that guy had way too much production last year in Vegas. And, you know, I was fortunate to see him a handful of times as a college player. And I just thought he was an impact-type guy. And I'm delighted he's here with a bird on his hat because I think he can really help this football team. And, yeah, defensively, Carl, it comes down to Atlanta has been, I think, 4 years in a row, five maybe, negative turnover margin. And I just think that has to change. I think that part of this metric with this team, if they're going to achieve some things, the turnover number's got to reverse itself. And, you know, it wasn't great last year, and they've got to be better at that this year, and I think they know it more than anybody else. And there's certain things that have to happen in the first four games outside of a positive record win and loss-wise. You know, and I know Dave's probably talked to you guys about red zone offense. I am big on red zone our third down defense. I think they've got to be better there. And that's where I'm looking for the improvement, to be honest with you. I don't want to be, you know, 30th in red zone defense this year. I think that's a number if you are 28th in red zone defense. If you can change that number, I think that is a massive, massive improvement in terms of what the overall health of the football team could be.
Wes Durham with us, guys. When we're on the Falcons, yeah, that complimentary football because we're going to see some rookies on defense starting. Yeah. We're going to see Xavier Watts, see Billy Bowman in the nickel and the dime. So hopefully, Wes, we're going to see the quarterback not having that one Mississippi to four Mississippi range that he's had the last couple of years to cut us up.
Thing. You know, when you pressure this guy on Sunday now, he can take off and make plays with his feet. We've seen that all too many times, right?
Yep.
And I think you've got to cast doubt early. So don't be surprised if they're coming from the third deck early on Sunday on Baker. And I know he's got a potential Hall of Famer at wide receiver. They're excited about Emeka Ebuka, and they should be. I don't know what Godwin's going to do in terms of play or not. I think Tez Johnson is a great pick for them, and Sterling Shepard returns. Josh Grizzard, the new offensive coordinator down there, is a guy who spent time at the collegiate level with David Cutcliffe, and then he was in Miami with Mike McDaniel. And certainly was there a year ago when, Liam Cohen came over to run the offense. So he's got a pretty wide catalog, too. And I'm going to be curious to see, because we know Bucky Irving's talented, Rashad White's good. But what else does Josh Grizzard come up with on Sunday as well that might be a new wrinkle for Tampa and one Atlanta has not scouted?
What did you make of the Clemson LSU matchup? Mm-hmm. Wes calls a variety of college games, guys. If you're not familiar, obviously the voice
I'm at
of
one of
Atlanta
Mike's
Falcons.
Schools on Saturday, by the way, Carl. One of Mike's many schools. I'm at Virginia Tech on Saturday night.
Ooh,
as they
bandy.
Host Lionel Richie and the Commodores. Yeah,
right on. Yeah, that's a big one actually, because Vandy feels like they've got some momentum. What did you make of the Clemson game and Dabo afterwards? Listen, they're a really good football team. I think they're going to still be in the mix, Wes. But that was like one of those prove it matchups.
Yeah, it was, and it was a heavyweight fight, and it looked like a heavyweight fight. You know, it looked like a game we'd see third week in November, right, or third week in December, maybe in the playoffs in the first round. I think both teams are still very viable. I think there's a little shine off of where Clemson is and what we thought Clemson would be, and they'll have to earn our trust back. But nobody that lost last week, and yes, I'm talking about Alabama too, nobody that lost last week is out of it. That's the important thing to remember. Now this is a little bit like the NFL. You know, if Philly loses tomorrow night to Dallas, they're not out of it, right? If Kansas City loses, they're not out of it. I mean, that's just kind of the way this works now. So if you're Clemson or if you're Alabama, you're taking some things to heart. If you're LSU, if you're Florida State, you got to feel like you've got a game in hand and moving forward in this deal. And I still think Clemson has the material. My question is Clemson now become a slow starter in terms of the way Dabo's team played? They used to blow out of the gates like drag racers.
Right.
And now it seems like it takes a game or two for them to find their mojo, and only he can really answer that. But too many people now are getting caught up in the game that's been played rather than the game that's ahead. And if you're Clemson, you know, you got Atlanta next week. You're coming here to see Georgia Tech.
Right.
And more than likely you're going to be 1-1 and Georgia Tech's going to be 2-0 in a high noon game. And I think that's the kind of way Clemson has to kind of process and move on. I would say the same thing about Alabama or anybody else that lost last week who's kind of in that hunt. Texas would fall into that category too, Carl. I don't think Texas played bad. I just think Ohio State's pretty good. And,
right.
You know, we're going to get Oklahoma-Michigan on Saturday. And that's that kind of game, too. And that's the beauty of where college football is going, guys. I mean, this is, you know, by the time we get to 27, 28, and 29, by the time we get to the late 20s here in the next 3 or 4 years, we're going to have lights-out games seemingly every week just by the virtue of the SEC going to 9 or the way the conference policies are going to be set up to play these P4 games outside your league.
Yeah, man. Nothing short of 3 touchdowns and 300 yards was going to keep Arch Manning from being criticized. I just thought Sarkisian kind of botched things.
That's unfair, Mike. All that's unfair.
And then, but I will say this: Klubnik is an upperclassman. Klubnik played terribly. He was terribly missed open throws. That was bad.
Right. Yeah, but what we need to do is tip our cap to LSU and say, hey, Blake Baker, you called a hell of a game defensively, right? And Harold Perkins is healthy again. Remember, last year he fought injury after this lights-out freshman season. And so that's one of the best players in college football who somehow or another has fallen off the satellite of guys we talk about being impact players in the college game. I mean, Carl, you remember what, 2 years ago, he was a freshman player of the year, right?
Yes, that's right.
That guy was banged up most of last year. He clearly was banged up early in the season. So if he never got right, but he looked right the other night, and so did LSU. Now the challenge, just like with Mario Cristobal at Miami, is can he and Brian Kelly figure out a way to not jack it up?
All right, what about the debacle in Chapel Hill? Bill Belichick, I know that Rome wasn't built in a day. What are your friends up there on Tobacco Road saying about that train wreck?
Neither was Carrboro. neither was any place else on the map not built in a day. Look, I think some of the other night is TCU's a pretty good team. And I think I told Carl this because I know he's an old Big 12 guy at heart in some respects. Right, Carl?
For sure.
The Big 12 is the most entertaining league in the country this year because there are half dozen teams that could win it. I mean, literally a half dozen teams. And I think TCU happens to be one of those teams. Carolina had to find out in some ways where they were, and they may not like where they are, but they've got 70 new players. I was up there to do the road trip a couple of weeks ago, and they're doing a good job coaching. It's not like Bill's over there in a lawn chair having a cocktail with his feet up. I mean, he's 70-some years old, and he acts like he's 40-some years old. And I give them credit. They're coaching them, but Carolina may just not be very good right now, and they've got to find a way to get better. The key element for Carolina is they play exactly one of the preseason top four in the ACC, and that's Clemson. One. They don't play Georgia Tech. They don't play SMU. They don't play Miami. I mean, they're fine. But they've got to get better. They got it. Number one, they got to tackle. Number two, they got to block somebody. They didn't block anybody. That quarterback was running for his life in the second series on. I'll give you the first. Here's my favorite stat of the game. The opening touchdown drive was like 87 yards and 9 plays, and they got a score, right? Their next 8 possessions, they had 5 3-and-outs. I'm sorry, next 7 possessions. They had 5 3-and-outs, and they had 2 5-play drives. And a grand total of 21 yards of total offense. That's just not going to win. That's not going to beat any. That's not going to beat Gardner-Webb Saturday in Atlanta. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, look, this should be a fantastic college football season. I know we got week 2 action kicking off on Saturday. We'll have a little bit of college football on your show or on this station. Iowa at Iowa State starting at 12 o'clock after college football game time at 8 o'clock. Oklahoma State and Oregon and Michigan and Oklahoma. We'll have all of those here on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, your home of college and professional football. But when we get back, we got the morning shift. It's Allie Mack, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson. They'll be taking care of you up until 9 o'clock. My name is Garrett Chapman, filling in for Dylan Matthews here on the Hometown Take on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Have a great day, folks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.